Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for joining us. I'm Tim with Ed and Fred. And Steve Paisley-Jordahl joins us now. Good morning, Steve.
Hey, everybody.
Good morning, Steve. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. My doctor told me that there's hope. He's trying to get me. I'm hooked on marshmallows, and I'm hooked on chocolate, and I'm hooked on some nuts. He said wow. I can do it, but it's going to be a very rocky road. So.
Now, why are you laughing at that? You didn't laugh at my transparent joke.
I usually laugh at corny jokes the first time.
Have you guys heard that transparent joke before?
Go ahead. That was funny. I laughed.
Oh, you did?
Okay. I haven't heard it.
Tell everybody that in case they missed it.
No, we were talking about trans this and trans that, and I said, I'm working on a pill to make myself invisible so I can be transparent.
There you go.
I thought that was pretty funny.
I think that's funny.
Yeah.
I laughed.
That is very funny.
I didn't spit my coffee out, but I did laugh. That was funny.
Well, that, spitting your coffee out inside this
studio wouldn't be good either.
Cause damage to the electronics.
That'd be good either. So Dr. Fauci, Dr. Anthony Fauci made comments yesterday that caught people's attention. He's about to fade into the sunset.
He has retired. Well, he has quit his job at the NIH. He's retired from the NIH. He says he's going to be around, as it were. So I don't know. What did he say yesterday?
Well, he's on television.
I know.
I want to be accurate. I want to be fair to Dr. Fauci.
Mm-hmm.
He was doing an interview about the COVID response and his role in it. And he said a lot of things. I didn't watch the whole interview. But what caught my attention was what he said about mask wearing. Ed, what did he say?
Well, he was asked about the effect. He had made comments, I don't know if it was an interview or a paper or what, about the effectiveness of wearing masks and
To prevent COVID.
And he had said at the margins, the effectiveness of wearing masks was about 10%. Now he did kind of walk that back a little bit when he was asked by the interviewer. He said, "What I was saying is that if you wear the right masks, like the N95, and you wear them properly, then mask effectiveness goes up to like 85%." But he was saying that most people did not wear the right masks; they did not wear them properly, and so at the margins, the effectiveness was about 10%, which is the vast majority of people were not wearing them effectively and wearing them the right way, because the interviewer was asking him about the whole mask mandate. And now he's basically saying 10% for most people was the effectiveness of it. So
when a lot of Americans said to prevent COVID, masks don't work. Of course, people meant that in a broad general sense, okay, on a mass scale. And I think that's what Dr. Fauci is also agreeing with right there, because Americans had no experience at wearing masks around all a day, every day.
Not like the Japanese where you see them all.
Right.
Or Koreans.
So we just threw some blue things on. We saw the nurses wear one time and thought, I'll go with this, you know.
And we talked about how, and Fred, you jump in here too, but we talked about how during the height of you have to wear a mask to come in this building, you know, to go shopping or whatever, I would store mine in the console between the seats.
Mm-hmm.
I would pull it out. I mean, there's no telling what kind of germs were on there.
I know.
I didn't change them out.
No.
Well, they weren't COVID, though.
Well, that's true. It wasn't COVID germs.
Well, I'm just saying Americans had no experience with mask wearing. And also the COVID virus, as I understand it, was so minuscule. It was like, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think that's why Dr. Fauci was honest the first time he was asked about this, mm-hmm. early on, what, 2 or 3 weeks into the,
mm-hmm.
this is when COVID hit America. Mm-hmm. You know, in March of 2020.
2020.
that started jumping around the world, and it comes to, it basically came to New York and L.A., I think, and then spread. But anyway,
Washington State.
Then he said, Dr. Fauci said masks don't work to stop the spread of COVID, a virus like this. I'm paraphrasing him. He said, you know, it might make you feel good, but it's not going to stop the spread of a virus. Well, he comes back 2 or 3 weeks later and goes, everybody wear a mask.
Mm-hmm.
So which was it?
Yeah.
Which was it? And I think now he's in hindsight, he's saying, I guess mask work somewhat. Would that be the fair way of saying
it? He would say, according to what I heard him
right.
say, if you wear the right mask and wear it the right way,
right.
yes, it is effective.
Right. Right.
But most people don't do those things.
Right.
And
right.
so therefore it's not effective.
Yeah.
As a strategy to stop something like COVID.
Right. All right, Steve, go.
All right. Boys.
Fred Jackson's over there right
hey,
now.
Hey, Fred.
And he had...
I'm observing.
official observer.
Oh, you're only observing.
He's had 23 words this whole hour.
He's and official Canadian observer.
So whatever topic you're going to bring up, Steve, and yep. I don't even know what it's going to be,
right.
I want Fred to respond first.
All right. Hey, Fred, there's something really kind of interesting and a little bit scary going on in Minnesota.
Okay.
The Minnesota, there's a bill, House File 181. And it would log alleged bias incidents, even when they're not criminal. And someone was grilling the lawmaker about this and said, so if I say something like I support the Harry Potter author
J.K. Rowling,
and I agree with her about transgender sports, is that going to land me on the list? Probably.
Yeah.
What about if I say that COVID originated in a lab in China and we need to be careful? Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Okay, the government is keeping a list of thought crimes. Doesn't that scare the pants off you?
Yeah, but that they're just tearing a page out of what we experienced over the last couple of years from the Biden administration. We know the Biden administration, for instance, in our military, was tracking where our soldiers went on social media. And if they went to a conservative website, they were tagged for that. It was all about this so-called disinformation. It became big time during COVID. If somebody had an opinion different from Dr. Fauci, they were suspect of spreading disinformation and taken off of social media. It is, I believe, all part of an agenda from the Marxist socialists that have made inroads in this country, that we are now our next kind of field of attack is to shut down people who have an opinion that's different from ours.
We were talking during the break about the government keeping track of who flew into Washington, D.C. January 4th and 5th and 6th,
yes.
2022. Mm-hmm. And but right before the riot at 21, right
yep.
before the riot at the U.S. Capitol, I mean, they're keeping a list and considering anybody who flew in and maybe flew out as potential domestic terrorists. This cannot be constitutional, I wouldn't think.
Well, this is how they operate in third world countries. But we now have people in leadership positions. This is why when a conservative speaker goes to a university campus, right. the Marxist mentality there is shut them down.
Mm-hmm.
We will not even allow that opinion there. So this is part of the thinking that has evolved in this country. Thank you very much. The United States education system, which much of it has been given over to Marxist thinking.
Well, and states like California, Minnesota, Massachusetts, Vermont, you name some of these liberal states, they become the petri dish.
Yes.
For these Marxists.
Yes.
We're going to try it here. We are going to sharpen our tactics. We're going to work the bugs out. And then we're going to try to expand the use of these quote-unquote tools
uh-huh.
to make America safe. And that is the, quote, progressive mindset. The experts run the country. You'll own nothing and you'll be happy.
Yeah. Remember back several years ago, there were stories coming out of like places like Harvard and Yale. They would, on career day, They would not allow any military representatives on campus. This is all part of the same kind of thinking. We disagree with it. Therefore, we're not even going to allow you to have a say in things. They want to shut down any opposing points of view.
We need to do a program on this another time to delve into this more. But what we're facing is political and cultural Marxism.
We sure are.
In our country. That goes under the banner of progressivism.
Mm-hmm.
Also, my dad used to call it secular humanism back in the 80s and 90s. My dad, Don Wildman, the founder of this ministry, he wrote on this a lot. And, in fact, he would print once a year and distribute it, the Humanist Manifesto.
Yeah.
If you don't know what humanism is, it's the belief that man is God and that God doesn't exist. And therefore, disregard what the Bible says about morality, values, life, the meaning and purpose of, those kinds of things. So I'm just saying what we're seeing, to your point, Fred, and what we're seeing here played out on the American landscape and Western civilization as a whole is the promotion of atheism and anti-Christ. It's a spirit. I'm spooking people now who don't believe in the Bible. That's okay if they're listening. Bible, there's a connection here between Marxism and what the Bible talks. But Bible doesn't mention Marxism or cultural Marxism. But there's a connection with modern day, what we're facing today, and what the and reading the ancient writings of the Bible.
No question.
Yeah, a good way of keeping these terms, they're related, but they're distinct, folks, is to think of it this way. Atheism is the belief that there is no God, or at least I don't see any proof that there is a God. So that's atheism, and that comes from the spirit of Antichrist. Humanism is the follow-on belief that mankind is at the top of the heap because there is no God. And human beings make the decisions for their own lives because there is no God. We will decide. And secularism is the blueprint for doing that.
Yep.
And there are different versions of how we can accomplish the utopia that we want here on Earth. Sometimes it's fascism. Sometimes it's Marxism. Okay. It can even be capitalism if it's devoid from God. But secularism is the blueprint for creating utopia here on Earth. And when God's not included, all bets are off. We're going to do what we think is best because we have enough power to do
it. And it goes back to Genesis 3.
Right.
What did Satan say to Eve? Ye shall be as God. You will know what is right and wrong. So all of this has its basis in Satanism. Really, it does.
I've heard several people in the last couple of days, and in my head, I'm hearing Tony Perkins' voice say it, so maybe it was on Washington Watch. But
you're hearing Tony Perkins in your head?
Sometimes.
It's better than hearing Whoopi Goldberg, I can tell you that.
Duly
noted. Is that who you hear?
No. Sometimes Joy Behar.
Oh man. Well, anyway, but what I've heard several times over our air is that we're no longer debating policy. It's not like we have to debate in Washington whether or not Social Security should be funded by this amount or that amount or whatever. We are now debating good versus evil.
That's true.
It's a spiritual battle. Listen, no longer politics.
Yesterday, I saw this. I don't watch The View, but if you read news as I do, read news accounts to keep up with the news, you're going to inevitably run into what The View said that day. Okay. You can't avoid it. The View is a television program, obviously, aired across the country with three liberals and a conservative.
All women.
And the three liberals are whacked out liberals.
They're conservatives, sure. Pretty whacked out too.
They're not moderate or traditional or rational. They're actors and actresses who scream, crazy stuff. That's my view.
Good.
Okay, so
that's
anyway,
your view of The View.
So Joy Behar, right?
Yes.
Behart or Behar? She said yesterday that she said everybody needs to get behind Biden to stop the fascist. Okay. There you go. They view those people, and they make up, you know, the cultural elites, a lot of these Hollywood types, they view that what she's saying is those crazy Christians. They represent Adolf Hitler and fascism, and they must be stopped. So we got to get behind Biden. So while they might not agree to spiritualizing it, because they don't have a spiritual basis for right or wrong, they just know they hate Christians, and that Christians must be stopped, because Christians they believe that God tells them what's right and wrong. And guess what? We don't want to hear that.
Fascist has become a real, it's a buzzword.
That's what she says. Well, now, she doesn't define what fascism is. But
I'm going to say this, and then I'll let Fred jump in here. Folks, if you study history, you know that prior to World War II, the first half of the century, there was a great deal of struggle between fascism, which was...
Actual fascism.
Actual fascism was created by Benito Mussolini. All right, right before he made the linguine. All right, Benito Mussolini was the originator of the ideas of fascism. But fascism and communism were at war across Europe. And the fascists hated the communists, and the communists hated the fascists. So the reason why people who have been brainwashed and are believers in Marxism, cultural Marxism, whatever, socialism, communism, the reason they call everyone fascist is because in Europe, one of those two views, they thought, was going to win. The other side were enemies. So when Joy Behar calls us fascists, my opinion is because she's basically a Marxist, and they don't want the fascists to win. Now, she's calling us fascists, but she's wrong, because in my opinion, there's not really a dime's worth of difference between fascists.
No, they're both totalitarian.
They're both totalitarian. They may use some different ideologies to drive the car, but the engine is totalitarianism, and fascists and communists are basically birds of the same feather.
I think you're giving Joy Behar way too much credit for thinking, because I don't think
she's a deep thinker, Steve. I've watched her enough to know. Well,
just a point to bring this back around. They're calling us fascist, and yet we're talking about them keeping a list of people who think things that are government disapproved.
The other day, the secular left. I'll let Fred respond to this. The secular left too, the progressives. They view American conservatives as the Taliban. They'll use that again. They'll say like one of them the other day said, "I don't see the difference between American Christians and the Taliban."
Yeah.
You know that kind of talk. What they're too also doing is they are trying to dehumanize a large segment of the American population with this kind of language. And if you can reduce people, if you can dehumanize them, you can do a lot of things to them that otherwise would be unacceptable. Anyway,
what's amazing to me is Marxism has been around for a long time. Totalitarianism has been around for a long time. There are governments that exist that way today. Show me which one works. Where does it work? Is it working in Venezuela? Is it working in Cuba? Would you like to go to China?
No, there's a reason why we talk about the crisis border with millions of people flooding in here.
Yeah.
They're not flooding into communist China.
No.
Right. They're not pouring in from, you know,
South Korea and North Korea.
Yeah. Japan. They're not on boats in Japan going, "We've got to go across and reach China." Uh-huh. You know, no. People want freedom. Yes. They want liberty. Yes. They want opportunity. They want the chance to be independent financially.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's only possible on a large mass scale if you have a country like America, some other countries too, but not a totalitarian state.
Yep.
All right, Steve, we have 5 minutes left. Bring into us the next story.
All right. Did you guys hear about this legislator in Arizona? Her name is Stephanie Hamilton Stahl. She is a Democrat. She's also a PCUSA minister. And I did look this up. She's with the Presbyterian Church USA.
Mm-hmm.
She was going into
they're still around?
They're shrinking.
They're liberal.
They're very liberal.
Okay.
But she was in the members' lounge, and she was caught stealing or actually hiding Bibles. She was hiding Bibles, and they caught her.
This is crazy.
And so she decided, she gave an apology to on the Arizona House floor. Listen to Cut 10.
For those of you who I have deeply offended, I apologize. That was never the intent. Members, I stand here today wanting to acknowledge the offense I committed by my actions. The intent was never to be destructive, to never desecrate or to offend. I acknowledge that a conversation about the separation of church and state should have began with a conversation. And for that, I apologize. I hold scripture
stop
very...
that. Stop that. All right.
Blah, blah, blah.
She holds scripture in high regard, she says.
So this was on you can watch this video. Do we have this posted on our website? We're going to post it on our Facebook website for today's issues. It's a state representative in Arizona. Her name's Stephanie Hamilton Stahl. She's a PC, Presbyterian Church USA pastor. The members' lounge for the state legislature, she went in a couple of times, and they got her on video camera. She takes the Bible or Bibles that was in the room, and she hides them.
Yep. For people who want to read while they're on break
right.
or whatever.
Yeah.
Well,
like
people started complaining because the Bibles were gone, so security put up a camera.
Right.
And they said, well, we got to find out who's doing this. And they caught her. And do you think she would have admitted this if she hadn't been caught on camera? She took the Bibles, and what one of them she put in the fruit and vegetable drawer of a refrigerator, and then the other one.
Why is she doing this?
Then the other one under a cushion. Steve,
yeah. I thought Democrats were against.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
I thought Democrats were
Instagram for a second. And
no,
I thought Democrats were against banning books.
Well,
no, certain books,
huh?
They don't want to. They want to ban certain books.
Go ahead.
Not the Bible. In fact, what did we just hear? Somebody was trying to make a point the other day by saying, if you're going to ban books that you think are sexual in nature, we want the Bible banned because it's the most sexually explicit book, they said, that exists.
That I've never read.
That's right. Exactly.
Kind of like when they, you know, what's the Frank Turek line?
Right.
About atheists. I don't believe in God, and boy, do I hate them.
Yeah, right.
All right. We're out of time.
Apparently, after she made her apology, she wants a law passed that all cameras should be banned.
Right.
You're just kidding about that, though, right? Okay.
That was embarrassing. She got her on video. Now she's trying to apologize, hiding the Bibles. So hiding the Bibles in the fruit.
You read the Bible, you got to go get a stick of celery. First,
thy word have I hid in my Frigidaire.
I like celery. It has no taste at all.
The word I have hid in my Frigidaire. That's good.
You got to stick it in some pimento cheese. And then celery takes on a whole new life.
And
peanut butter.
You never really get done chewing celery, do you? That's what I've found.
Peanut butter and celery?
Oh, yeah.
Appealing, but.
That's a staple in California.
All right. There's your problem.